Special City Council Meeting, May 14, 2013, Butler Subdivision Pressurized Irrigation Workshop.
And we appreciate you coming and attending tonight and to discuss a possible project. What I'll try to do, I'll give a little short presentation. I'll give you more background information than you care to know. And before this is through, we want to give you a chance to ask questions and raise issues and even to express opinions of whether you want us to go ahead, to hold the phone, more discussion or whatever, and also give you an opportunity to contact Mike Borzik or me if you've got special issues that we need to be thinking about. I know I've heard three or four special issues as I've gone through the crowd, and we expected that there would be special issues and that we haven't got this all figured out. But what we wanted to do was to give you enough information tonight that at least you can start thinking. And if thinking is not necessary and you have a strong opinion, you can tell us now. One of the things we don't want to do is get in the business of trying to cram things down anybody's throat. I hope you detected that from the notice that was mailed to you, is that that we don't want to just disturb your world, okay? But we have reasons why we're here. So if I could start sharing with just a few bullet points, and it's okay to stop me. If I'm going to talk about your issue a little bit later, I'll just kind of slide on to it and catch it later on, let you know that that's what I'm doing. I don't expect that what I've got is a whole lot of detail to answer all the specific questions, but at least gives things a start. Now, you should be aware, we've got Mayor Nelson is here, and Joe Steer from the council, Richard Cardoza from the council. We got any other council people here? They're probably eating dinner. So let me just kind of start through this discussion. Last year, we sent out a letter to a number of properties, more than in Butler subdivision. And the letter, the reason it was sent to specific individuals is that they had properties that were close enough to a pressure irrigation line that they might choose to connect if they wanted to. And as a result of that letter, there was, I think, six different properties in Butler subdivision that expressed enough interest that they signed up to be a part of it. And that's six out of, I think there's 89 properties, more or less, in the subdivision. 89 properties, so that's kind of a significant response. And it was only from that portion that was close by the PI line. So I think naturally we began to think in our heads, are we not taking care of a bigger desire, a bigger need here? And so I had Mike start to draw out pictures and ways to route lines, pressure irrigation lines through Butler subdivision, if there was bigger interest. And these are all tentative. We don't know for sure that this is the way it will work, but this is tentative, so you can kind of see what would happen. And by and large, they're on back property lines, and that introduces a whole realm of issues to be concerned about. Now, let me tell you, the city's proposing to do something here that we generally don't do. I'll tell you in a minute why we're doing that, but let me tell you how everything kind of fits together. We have about 5,500 homes in town. Of that 5,500 homes, 730 of them approximately do not have access to pressure irrigation. Of that 730 that do not have access to pressure irrigation, some of them have access to gravity irrigation. But that 730, 90 of the homes are in Butler subdivision, and you probably should perceive when we have that big of a block that we try to probably address that block first if Butler subdivision is interested. Now, let me just give you another fact here. In 2005, the city did a master plan. And as part of that master plan, they tried to determine the consultants at the time tried to determine how much of the capacity of wells that residences without pressure irrigation demand on our drinking water. And what they determined in round numbers was that for every connection without pressure irrigation, it places three times the demand of the other type of house on the drinking water system, three times. So for the 90 homes more or less in Butler subdivision, that would be 270 homes equivalent for the 90 that actually live there. And that's kind of important because wells are expensive little items to build. And those costs to build those wells end up in the rates for everybody. That gives the city a reason to maybe step out a little bit. I hope I'm saying this right, Mayor.
Sure.
To step out a little bit and see if it might be advisable to try to partner with a Butler subdivision and see if we can get a block of 90 homes off of the drinking water as far as irrigation purposes are concerned. The wells is only the beginning of the cost, because with wells you have to have, at least to help along, you have to have storage tanks. Those are $1.5 million. And so the prices and costs keep escalating up, and that gives the city some motivation to think in this way, in the way that we're going to propose anyway. And a new well serves about 1,390 homes for our typical sized well, 1,390 homes. So we're talking about here with 100 and extra dwelling unit demands on the drinking water system of about 180 reduction in our demand on the system, which in turn can be, so that demand can be sold through connection fees to new homes coming in elsewhere, and we don't have to drill wells to do it. So this is the motivation for the city to proceed or to consider with Butler whether Butler subdivision wants to have pressure irrigation. Now, there is another aspect I'll bring up delicately. We've known and observed that when we irrigate our yards and lawns through a water meter, and of course get charged on the basis of how much we use, that those of us who are careful with our money tend to use it little. And so that tends to be that when we are using drinking water for that purpose and paying for the drinking water, that we tend not to water our lawns as much as we might naturally feel like we should. Or in tight times, we don't water them at all. Or we reduce the amount of lawns that we water, and we think that affects a neighborhood. We're interested in the neighborhood too. We think it affects the neighborhood if people, because of economics, feel like they can't water their yard or for whatever other reason, or to save money or whatever. So we're hopeful that pressure irrigation may take that equation a little bit and change it so that those who have pressure irrigation basically have free demand on the pressure irrigation, can use it flexibly according to their needs in most seasons or in most times, except in this drought year. We're going to have to talk about that separately. But so we think it matters or could matter to the residents of Butler subdivision if there was maybe a more substantial way of irrigating the lawns. You guys get to make the choice on that. But we think it may help. It may help property values and anything else that's associated with it. Okay. Now, let me just talk about a couple of things that we think you would hold me by the throat to tell you anyway. And we note, Mike and I went through the billing records today for Butler subdivision. We hope that's not too much of an intrusion in privacy. We wanted to see kind of how you use the water. And what I'm going to tell you is that the way the water is used in Butler subdivision, it doesn't save money in that sense for you to be tied to pressure irrigation. It simply doesn't. There are a few of you that would save money by going to pressure irrigation. But bear that in mind. We think that's something that will have an effect on how you make your decisions, but that's simply the facts of the way it is. We think that shows up in dry lawns and maybe backyards that aren't watered and those kind of things. If you want to have the greener lawns and access to water without the quantum increase in cost of using potable water, then this is the way to go. If that's not what you want and want to stay as it is, there's a place on, we're going to give you a ballot to return to us to help us in any future things that we do there. There's a ballot that you can mark and say, leave me alone. Just feel comfortable that you can do that. And you can tell us why. Just be nice to Mike when you write it. So just say things nice to him. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to question. Didn't we go through the situation on even odd watering?
There's a likelihood that we're going to have to start that here shortly.
Well, I thought a couple of years ago. We've been here almost 30 years, so we're kind of an old timer.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that I thought we were on the... before, if we didn't have that, would that help over the even odd watering?
We think it's going to help. We have some other suggestions too, but that's for people that are on the system. And what you're referring to is most people understand that it's better if your house ends in an even number to water on even number days and odd numbers to water on odd number days. That helps. It spreads out the demand on the system. Now, the numbers that you should write down. The annual assessment for irrigation users, which we now charge on a monthly basis, so it's balanced out over the entire year, is $93.50 per dwelling.
Per year.
And that works out to be around $8 a month for the entire year. The second cost is there is a connection fee cost. And most people pay that connection fee in a lump sum when they buy their house or build their house. We don't see you as being in that situation. You've already got a house. So the city has agreed to finance that over 10 years. There are two things that you should know. It costs about $7.40 per month for financing costs, and that doesn't include $129 down payment. So write those numbers down because those have to go into your equation. So you've essentially got two monthly costs, unless you pay your connection fees all at once. You've got two monthly costs, one of approximately $8 and the other approximately $7.50. So that's what, $15.50. So put that in your mind and figure out your situation accordingly. The city will propose to invest in these lines, these red lines that you see on the map that was given to you as you came in. The city's investment will be approximately $225,000 if the whole project is done. That's $225,000. What is that per dwelling? 90 into that? Is that like $3,000 per dwelling? Not quite $3,000. $2,500 per dwelling. Okay? We will not and do not expect that money to be repaid from the residents. That's the city's contribution to this thing. As you see on the map, the tentative plan now is to go through the back property lines, but a number of you have shared issues with me already, and we're going to have to evaluate those issues to see whether we even take another step forward or whether we change the location of the lines. Some of them are pretty significant. Power lines in the back. And we expect that there will be a number of landscaping issues, buildings and so forth, that we'll have to evaluate each one of those individually. We're prepared to cross back and forth across those lines. We would like to minimize that as much as possible because it takes 6 fittings for each crossing. And those 6 feet in probably cost more than the pipe between them. So So we'll have some reluctance to do that, but we'll have to evaluate each situation to see whether we would even consider doing that. In the process, if we go along back property lines, obviously some landscaping will be disturbed and need to be restored. City will be responsible for that. There may be small yard features and other types of landscaping like bushes and so forth. City will be responsible for that. Again, if we come across a significant obstruction, we'll just have to go around it or figure another way. We don't know all the answers at this point, and your input and discussions with us will help in deciding what we have to do or whether we have to pick an alternative. Now, let me emphasize here a couple of things. If we do this project, we could do just a portion of it. We've already done just a portion of it for the five homes that we've been able to get the line across the street to. Those five will have a sub-project in order to serve them. We can do other sub-projects in the subdivision, but we don't want to be crossing the streets again because that's an expensive proposition. So the two crossings that we've got now, those will have to suffice. Now, two things. If you wish to connect, then probably the person that you'll be talking to about the details of financing and everything else involved is Mike Borzik sitting over here. If you don't wish to connect, just tell us. There's nothing about this project that demands that you connect. What we would like is if we can get a section of the project done, there may be a person or a couple of persons in between where we're at and where we need to go. We would like, if you're willing to do it, for you to cooperate with us in the sense that not to sick your dogs on us. We will try to contact you and discuss before we ever do anything going through your yards. If you just absolutely refuse to have us around, that can be told to us. We have easements back there, but we're not going to force our way into them. Is that clear? If you don't want to connect and you just want us to go away, tell us. We'll figure out something else. Now, Mayor, is that said the way you want it said?
Right.
Okay? So, if you want to connect, you can, and Mike will help you. If you don't want to connect, you don't have to. We would ask, maybe even beg, that there we have some cooperation so we can get everybody served who wants to be served. That's the thing that we request. What we will do is we will not go into your yards until we've talked to you and understand from you what the issues are. We will protect your private places that way. We'll be considerate of you that way. We'll try to do the best we can to restore landscaping. I have a feeling that sometimes that's a hard bar to reach, but we'll try, okay? And again, if Butler is not interested in it, please let us know now. And we have other parties who are kind of pushing for us to invest in their areas. And if that's not your interest, we understand. And if you just want to be left alone, that's fine. Okay, now, I've tried to give briefly what the project is, and what I would like to do now is now the time that you can start asking questions and raising issues. Go ahead.
How much is this going to cost us?
Which part?
Like I've been hearing there would be $800 or $1,800 to hook it up.
There, if you choose to connect, there will be an $860 connection fee which may be financed over a 10-year period of time. The net effect of that financing is about $7.50 a month for 10 years. So that $860 is probably what you heard. And that's close to right. And then the additional item is there is an annual assessment for the cost of providing the water and pumping it. And that's about $8 a month. So does that answer the question that you have right now? So you can evaluate it on that basis. Other questions? Yes?
That range is set regardless of how many actually sign on as opposed to how many don't?
Yes, that is particularly the assessment rate. That is set annually by council based on the cost to run the system. And it's uniform in the sense that if you're under 10,000 square feet lots, it's all the same assessment rate. And it doesn't matter in setting that assessment whether you have intervening lots that don't connect.
And that's the cost of setting it in.
That's right. That's the cost of operating the system. The connection fee is also fixed. We don't think there are any lots in Butler that are greater than 10,000 feet or 10,000 square feet. So we think the number that we gave you is the right number, the $860. Okay. Other questions? Yes.
How many people do you need to sign on to make this economically viable? Because I could see that, you know, let's say even half of us sign on to this. Is that going to be economically viable? Spend $250,000 or so to run pipe to only half of us? Even though the pipe may go to everyone, if only half of them do it, wow, yeah. I don't think that's economically feasible, is it?
Well, actually, there's other bigger numbers that we can balance that out with. But your question is that somewhere the city has to make a decision. In order to make that decision, I've got to take the numbers back to city council and they'll make the decision and blame it on me. So. Yes, Mike?
A sunset clause on the connection fee.
Oh, right now the city, for residences that are like Butler, who existed prior to the existence of the pressure irrigation system in their area, pay one half of the connection fee the new houses pay. And what Mike is referring to is in 2015, that expires, at least by present legislation. Whether council renews it or not, they haven't acted on that part. So there is a sunset to the $860. But once you pay it, you've got the $860 nailed down. You don't have to do it again. Yes?
Do you pay the $90.50 all at once?
Well, the city used to do that, but now we divide it up so you pay it monthly. So
it's, well, that's just going to be on our bill monthly then?
Like, yes, if you're part of the system, it would be on your bill monthly.
Okay, great.
Other questions?
Water's available when there's water in the canal?
Yes, and except for years like this one, that is generally from around April 15th to October 10th, somewhere in that vicinity. It's not going to be that way this year. This is one of those years where it's a little tough, and that's a separate question. Other questions? Yes.
So we pay X amount of dollars for water, sewer, and garbage now. So if we get this irrigation put through, is that going to lower that bill?
What we hope happens is we don't have to raise it as fast as we might. Now, I'll explain that again, because I think that's a very worthy question to ask. When we drill one of these wells, it's an $800,000 crapshoot. And somebody's got to pay for that. Guess who? The drinking water users. And also, new connections pay for part of it. So if we can avoid having to drill as many wells as we might have without doing something like this, that's a significant piece of change. Makes a difference. That's the city's point of view for investing in this thing. Yes?
What basis did you use to come up with the $225,000 to run the lines?
Material costs and using city forces to do it.
Okay, did that take into effect that you mentioned that you would, redo landscaping or?
Yes, we have a fraction in there for that. Yeah.
And geologically, did you check about ledge? Because I know some of the homes that were in the, just to let you know, up on Gorey, when they ran their sewers, they hit ledge, and that would cost a whole lot more than $225,000 that ran into that. I just wondered if you looked at
those things. Everywhere that we work in CUNA, we face that possibility. I don't know any place that we don't. But in most cases, we don't know where they are. And so we kind of have to find out after the fact. And like I told you, there might be obstructions that change things or stop things or whatever. In CUNA, that's one of those things. what we've found is that they don't go forever, but they go some places. That's about all I can say right now. Our sewer line's the same way. Water line's the same way. We can run into obstructions that we just can't get through.
When did the project begin?
Well, the initial folks, we expect those to start next week sometime.
These are the ones that are already signed on?
That's correct. And those five that have signed on have already started paying that $8 a month, or what, or $7.50 a month for the connection fee. Some of them have paid for it outright. That's each individual circumstances is its own. So that's about, Jeff, that's about when it would be.
And the back end of that, so when you get, what are you looking at, tail end, if you get the buy-off from enough and you decide to go, any speculation on how long it would take to get it done?
We think it would take most of the season to get it done.
Yeah.
Yes, Richard.
How deep is the water line going to be?
The pressure irrigation line, at least 30 inches.
Okay, 30 inches.
That I might mention, and that raises an issue. Periodically, we need fixtures on this pipe. Sometimes a drain, sometimes an air release, and so there will be little fixtures that have those air releases and pots where you can drain the line, so we can drain it in the wintertime when we need to. So those things will appear currently, but I don't know where they'll be right now. We'll talk to you about it when we get close to it. Other questions? Yes?
There always comes a question of easement and how many feet in a project like this on property. What does that usually
mean? The easement already exists on each side of the back property line, and it's 10 feet.
5 feet on the side yard?
On the side yard, it's 5 feet, but except in a couple of places, we don't anticipate using those easements.
Now, average depth?
At least 30 inches. Richard, did I get all your question answered? Yes, ma'am.
You say you have a 10-foot easement on the back of the property?
Yeah, it came in when your property was platted.
Is that on each property owner? Like 10 feet on one property and 10 feet on the other?
Yes. Let's say you had a fence along your back property line. The guy on the other side of the fence has 10. On your side has 10. Did that answer your whole question?
What do you do? Then do you have to put the fences back in after you've
Yes.
done that?
Yes. So I'll go through the list of things. And these wouldn't be all inclusive, but I expect that there will be places where we need to restore sod. Landscaping like bushes, landscaping features, yard features, those kind of things, fences. And there may be other things back there that we haven't dreamed of yet. And we try to respect those things. Everybody makes their own yards the way they like them. Okay. Please, Richard.
Mike mentioned that we will not put in the sprinkler pipes, sprinkler heads. We just bring the connection to the property line. Then it's their responsibility from there forward.
Yeah. Now, these things are set up so that if you want to continue dragging hoses, you can do that. If you want to put in sprinklers, you can do that and connect up to it. The only thing that we ask is you pay the bill. Yes, sir.
Pay the bill.
Say that again.
The homeowner actually have to say the location where that bed was there to be, where that connection was to be.
Most certainly. That's probably the most flexible thing that we have. High spots, we've got to put in air release there so we don't bubble lock them. And on low spots, we need to put drains so we can drain them. But for the location of your service, you tell us here, and make it blue. Maybe we can make it blue. I don't know. There's something I was just thinking of that I wanted to mention to you. I'll have to let it find its way back in my head again.
In fact, the pressure from property to property will let high in some properties, low in others, or the pressure will be the same pretty much every property.
You know, we're proposing to put what I consider to be a fairly large irrigation line here at 6 inches. So we don't expect that there will be significant pressure drop from one to the other. Other places, we do have trouble with that, and that's one of the reasons why we're picking 6 inches. Yes?
What's the
tap size going to be on the 1 inch? 1 inch. Now, let me just, this is something that's important. If you decide to go ahead, we would ask that you keep a significant number of zones so your total or peak demand on the system stays down. And so not just one zone from that 1 inch. The 1 inch tap will restrict you somewhat, but we need it more than that to be fair to every other user. So, and the other thing, this is not, you didn't ask me, I'll tell you, we have more water available in the afternoon than we have in early in the morning. Everybody wants to use it from 4 o'clock in the morning until 10. And we know that it takes more water to irrigate in the afternoon, but that water that doesn't get used in the afternoon just goes over the weir and we lose it. Again, you didn't ask that, you got that in for free. Okay, question.
What's the pressure going to be?
About 70 pounds.
Okay.
Now, would you like to have some individual time with us? Because we're going to be here, or at least we have the building until 8 o'clock, and you're certainly welcome to have individual time with us. Did you all get a ballot where you could mark it off? What we had asked that you do on the ballot is just put your address on it. You don't need to put your name. You can if you want, but what we need is the address so we can see where the holes are and where we're going to face particular difficulties, particularly if you're strongly opposed to the project and want us to go away. We need to know that so we know what we have to work around and make decisions.
Okay.
Other questions? Mayor, did you want to add anything?
No. I think you covered it well.
Well, you got 90 houses. I don't see 90 homeowners.
Yeah. Well, I think that, let's see, they range anywhere from Billings to...
Well, some couldn't.
Yeah.
That's... But
Corey forgot to tell you, they voted yes.
Absentee ballots.
We're filling them out now.
Man, that's going to be a lot of fence. Every one of those houses has got a fence.
Yeah.
Virtually every one of them has got a fence.
Yeah.
You're the mayor.
Yeah.
What's the status of the Boy and Girls Center over here?
It's approved. They're doing their fundraising now.
Are they going to put a bridge across the canal at Mindy?
Not right at first, but...
Not right at first.
Yeah. Yeah, they have that in a program for later.
I went to a couple of meetings where that was discussed somewhere.
Yeah.
They probably need the center.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I do too.
I think a bridge there is going to create a lot of traffic on Mindy. Okay. I wondered how they were going to run the lines. I didn't think about running down the property lines. All I could envision was a trencher down the street.
Yeah, really.
Which would be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
basically a quarter of $1 million to do the project.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and it'll save us a lot of drinking water. And you know, that's going to become more and more important to us, and so we're trying to get everybody, especially the bigger units like this, on
so,
pressurized irrigation.
In a drought year, which we currently are involved with, water will not be as available as it might be in a wet year.
You know, this is the first and only subdivision we let them sell their water off, the developer. And
it
turned out it's a huge error. We've never done that since.
I don't need to record.